aboard, you people. It is, yes, the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantzisov for another day of broadcast insolence. All right. I've just been handed something very important.
You know, just in.
As you well realize, we are going to be at the Chicago Hilton tomorrow. That's the big hotel on Michigan Avenue. Very fancy looking.
Well, the Grand Ballroom is just legendary.
Right. It's a very nice place. It's the kind of place that popes and potentates and kings and presidents had stayed throughout the years.
Right.
And it's the home of the 12th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention.
Now,
we are going to be broadcasting live from there from 3 until the last cow dies. Wait, was I
got
that wrong?
Way to put it.
It sounds right.
The cows have to come home is what.
What dies?
Why do the cows have to die?
I don't know, but I just think that a lot of these guys are Canadians and they're used to cows. Anyway, the point I'm making is I have the list now of our guests for tomorrow.
Ooh.
I was just
this is big.
This. Remember, you know, I started talking about it yesterday.
And they're like, don't
yeah,
stop.
And then I got a call from, the captains of industry over at the Blackhawks.
Right.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
What's he saying?
I haven't confirmed any of this yet, you putz. Which is exactly what was. I thought that was not so nice, but whatever. That's what they said. All right. So here is the list.
Okay.
Tomorrow, scheduled to appear on the program. Jay Blunk.
Nice.
Fear the bird.
Al McIsaac. He's the senior vice president of hockey operations. And they are bringing a special guest. They still won't tell us who the special guest is.
Huh.
Is it Tommy Hawk?
I'm telling you.
The Ice Girls?
I'm telling you, Tommy Hawk is exactly the guy. I'm afraid of Tommy Hawk after last season.
Put you in a headlock.
Right. He kicks you right in the groin with those big furry feet. Oh, you know, the pillow feet
that would
he's
hurt.
Got. I don't think so, actually.
No?
No, because it's a pillow on his foot. Mm. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't feel good.
Depends on how he catches you.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. Rocky Wirtz.
Nice. Rocky.
Calvin DeHaan. Connor Murphy, he's our favorite. Now that Judy is no longer on the show,
he'll appear again.
He feels safe to come back.
Since she walked up to him when he came in studio and said, "Hi, I'm Mrs. Robinson."
She actually put
And he didn't even understand that reference, but he knew enough to be like, "I'm a little scared by that."
She put her hand on his back and then kind of purred that in his ear, which I thought was a little weird. You know, where you feel the moisture of someone's breath in your ear? It was like that.
Pulled a Biden?
Yeah.
God, but she's so short, how could she reach?
Well, he was sitting down.
Oh, okay.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
And starting the show off right at the beginning of the show, Jeremy Colliton.
Oh.
Your Chicago Blackhawks head coach.
Are you going to congratulate him for listening to you and your advice that you whispered in his ear at the beginning of last season?
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. Said, they refer to me as Mr. Robinson.
That's not what you said. He went on a winning streak after you talked to him, though. I gave him a little, talking to.
Yeah, when I explained to him that the key to success in the National Hockey League is after 60 minutes of play, score more goals than your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to take that to heart. Mm-hmm. That was very
It's very
good.
Simple.
Okay. All right. There's going to be guaranteed autograph sessions, too. If you buy the hotel package, there's like two packages remaining. So if you want to do this, go to Blackhawks.com and sign up. You get the 3-day pass, and then you get the hotel room, which is great, especially if you're bringing the kids down. And you get a guaranteed acceptance into an autograph session with Jonathan Toews or Mr. Shaw.
Oh, how cool is that?
Guaranteed? Shaw's back, yeah.
Players are really excited about that.
Yep. And there are weekend and single day passes available as well. Go to Blackhawks.com/convention.
They just make it so much fun. Very interactive. Mm-hmm. So fun. And this year they have an emergency goalie challenge, which is like an escape room experience. So that's new.
That's hilarious. Like
Isn't
the accountant
it?
Who
what?
Got thrown into the fire a couple years ago? Or
yes.
Was it?
We have to do it. I would love to do that.
All right.
I'm in.
As a team, we got to do that.
Remember the last time we did an escape room?
Didn't work out.
No. Everybody started fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And then there was a gas leak and we all died.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And some alarm went off.
We did.
And they walked in, they go, "You're all dead. Get out.
You're all dead. You guys are the worst group we've ever had here.
Right.
This is an embarrassment.
Can we, where can we go get appetizers?" I think that was the question that we asked immediately after that.
Can we go back to the bar?
It was one of those scenes where we walked away from it. We're walking down Michigan Avenue, uh-huh. and it was like the last scene from Ocean's 11, except without a happy ending.
We looked dejected.
Right.
That we're doesn't just, have to go that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, we're just kind of going
happened?
That way. And then everybody went in their own direction.
Right.
Like the finale of Seinfeld.
Which is, was kind of the problem in the escape room. Everyone was going their own direction, and the whole purpose was to work together.
Judy was yelling at everyone in there.
Yeah, it was bad. Then there was one who just wasn't paying any attention whatsoever.
Oh, I wonder who that was.
All right. Let us now talk to Kim about what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour. And then Ben Bradley's got a couple of stories that'll knock your socks off coming up on the WGN-TV news at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 tonight. Kim?
Roe police were chasing a fire department SUV today, but they weren't headed to a fire.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV news at 9 o'clock.
Ben Bradley is from the WGN-TV News at 4 o'clock, and he joins us right now from the WGN-TV Newsroom on Bradley Place, not named after him, no relation.
No. Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. All right, Mr. Bradley,
yes, sir.
A couple things. This just breaking, before we get into the other stuff we want to talk about, but this just breaking that now Illinois and federal officials are confirming that Illinois was one of the more severely hacked states by the Russians in 2016, and it continued until last year.
So we knew that Illinois had been the first shot fired in this attempt by the Russians to hack into America's voting infrastructure. In June of 2016, Russian actors hacked into Illinois voting records. The State Board of Elections had previously disclosed that had come up in federal testimony. And in fact, this past fall, Joe Donlan did an entire series with State Board of Election officials talking about how it happened. But there was, a lot of it was still shrouded in mystery. At the time, state elections officials had told us they thought the Russians had accessed about 75,000 voting records in Illinois. Well, just a little bit ago, the Senate Intelligence Committee declassified and published a report on the Russian hacking that said as many as 200,000 Illinois voter registration records had been accessed. And it may have gone on a lot longer than we originally thought. In fact, that 200,000 number is records accessed as of the end of last year. So this wasn't a one-time thing in June of 2016 where there was a hack, there was information accessed, et cetera. The other thing in the Senate Intelligence Committee report is that it says Russian actors were in a position to delete or change Illinois voter data, but the Intelligence Committee says it's not aware of any evidence that said the Russians did actually delete or change it. This seems like a fishing expedition from the experts that we've talked with, an attempt by the Russians to see what they could access. And they went poking around in Illinois' election infrastructure. And to be clear, this is all very different from what you've been hearing about Russian attempts to influence social media and influence the public discussion about the 2016 election. This is attempts to actually get a hold of voter infrastructure.
This could eventually be used to knock people off the rolls, essentially.
Yeah, in theory, right? So imagine it if, you know, a couple of days before a presidential election, the Russians are able to go in and take 200,000 names off of the voter registration rolls.
Right.
Right. You show up to vote and you're not listed?
Think about it. So something like that, and again, we're all just, you know, kind of speculating what the motive might be here, but you know, if they all of a sudden just hit delete on 200,000, you know, registration records, obviously officials would see that. There'd be large-scale incidents of people at the polls not being able to vote. I think the bigger issue is when it's done as a much more surgical strike in a swing state in an area that could help a preferred candidate, right? So you take a couple hundred voters off the roll, make it more difficult for a couple hundred people in a key county that has support that could swing a state's electoral votes. You know, that's what intelligence officials really worry about when it comes to influencing an election.
I don't think anybody's really that worried about it. I'll be honest.
You're worried about it, Ro. No, we got you for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worried about everything, though.
Sure.
I don't think that the whole rest of the world's all that worried. Because, you know, I saw what was going on in Washington when I was watching that thing yesterday. I'm like, these people don't seem to, you know, this is some pretty compelling stuff about Russian interference. And it was like, yeah, okay. Like, all these congressmen sitting around there going, you know, guys taking their shirt off and just, you know, shirt sleeves and ties and, you know, man of the people kind of guys. They're like, well, it's all this made up about the Russians. They're our friends. You know, what are they talking about?
That was the most disheartening thing yesterday. My takeaway was both sides, Republicans and Democrats, had absolute zero interest in talking about the baseline problem here. And that is that a foreign actor was heavily involved in trying to sway our election. And nobody seems to care about that.
Trump is so intentionally polarizing that he takes, out of design by himself, he takes all the focus away, right? He becomes about him. Everything is about him. And we are not paying attention to, and Republicans, one would think, this is the kind of thing that was right up the Republicans' mm-hmm. tree before.
National security.
Is national security, and mm-hmm. especially anti-Russian. And now they're like, well, it's about Trump. Let's just stay out of this, because he's going to get mad at us if we do it. It's like, wait a second, what about securing? Because what if they decide this time around to really create chaos? What if they get Bernie Sanders to win the frickin' primary, and then they start doing the same thing they had him elected president? So they jar the thing, you know, far left, far right, far left, far right, so the whole place blows up.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be the next thing, too, and nobody seems to care about that.
I think the president boxed himself in early on this issue by being so totally and fundamentally opposed to admitting that there was an attempt to benefit him by the Russians. When he refused to even accept that, then you couldn't then have the entire discussion about what are we going to do about it.
Right. So true. All right. A couple of other things. There are some Illinois names on the list of the execution list for the federal government now, right? Because they're going to, after 16 years, they're going to lift the I guess it was sort of a stand down
right.
of executions. It was never taken off the books.
Yeah, so we looked into the list of more than 60 people who are currently on federal death row. Three of them do have ties to Illinois. One of them was a doctor, a podiatrist, who was being investigated for fraud, and the doctor killed his patient on the north side of Chicago after he learned that patient had been cooperating with the feds. He is on death row. There's another guy by the last name of Torres, who was in the Marines and killed a Navy sailor in their barracks and then went on to kill two little girls in Zion on Mother's Day weekend many years ago. And so he's on federal death row for that murder on a military base, but he is now eligible to see that death sentence actually carried out. And then there's a bank robber from Northwest Indiana who's also on federal death row. So of the 60-plus people currently on federal death row, three of them have ties to Illinois.
Mm.
But it's worth pointing out that of the people that the Department of Justice has said, there's five people that it says, okay, let's go ahead and let's execute them in the next 6 months. Those three with local ties are not on that list. So no execution date set for those three people with local ties on federal death
row. The top five are all being held in Terre Haute. I mean, they're right there.
That's where the federal death row is.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think isn't Joe Kosarniev, isn't he at Supermax in Colorado?
No,
and he's, I don't think he was identified on that list of the
first five. Yeah, but I think they have to transport them to Terre Haute for
yep.
execution, right?
That's
yeah.
where Timothy McVeigh was executed,
right.
in Terre Haute.
All right, let us now stand down. You can stand down now, Ben.
Okay, you continue on with the show.
Yes.
I'll be on the news at 4 o'clock on WGN.
All right, and Kim Gordon's got the WGN Radio News right now. And now it's time for Man of Steel.
Oh, that was quick. It didn't even feel right.
I don't know. What happened there?
We're used to you dragging it out really long.
Yeah, I don't know.
Annoying everyone.
Yeah, that
we're short on time.
That is so symptomatic of the Trump era. Cutting stuff short.
Exactly.
Getting rid of tradition. Yeah. Throwing it out the door.
Don't matter. Nothing matters anymore.
Don't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. I think I want to have a federal investigation into the decision-making behind that process, because I feel the Russians may have been unduly influenced you on this.
They may have. They may have, because the Man of Steel is a truth, justice, in the American way, not the Russian way. Although, that is going to be our new slogan here in the United States, truth, justice, in the Russian way. Did you see? I love this. This is one of the funnier things that has happened in the last couple of weeks. Did you see that the president was at Turning Point USA, which is an organization that tries to, you know, basically train up high school and college kids to become conservative leaders, right? Isn't that what the idea of that is?
Right.
So he's addressing Turning Point USA.
I ran a thought on that, but I'll share it later.
Okay. Ooh. So he's addressing Turning Point USA, and they've got the presidential seal up. The problem is it's a mocked-up presidential seal that is an ironic presidential seal that's got the Russian eagle that's got the heads that go both ways, not the, you know, the regular American eagle with the one head.
Right.
It's got two heads. And it's in its claws, it's carrying golf clubs. And that is, and somebody, there was some moron who worked at Turning Point USA who did a quick Google search for an image of the presidential seal because the advance team told them they needed to put a seal up there and didn't give them the seal to put up there, which was a mistake. And so they did a projection seal, and the projection was of this image from the Google. And no one noticed it for about 10 minutes. I mean, the president was up there, got through the whole thing, and they realized, hey, wait a second, we got a problem here. And they had to take stuff down. Everything is wrong.
It is just the quintessential moment. I mean, that's been the Trump presidency, where those symbols and those traditions, no one gives a crap about. No one's willing to take the time to make sure they get it right. And in fact, really don't care. It's like just slapdap, throw it up. You know, it's an eagle. All right, two-headed eagle. Okay, that works. Golf clubs. Yeah, Trump's like golf. There we go.
We got it.
That's what the White House is all about.
We're not enforcing any sort of epistemological reality. Like, this is how we know what we know. And that just doesn't exist anymore.
I don't want to, we kind of joke about it and make fun of it. But I really, you know, I think that's part of the danger of the time we're in, is that these things don't matter. No one notices that the seal behind the President of the United States is not the presidential seal. It is something that maybe connotes something else far less serious or maybe even more dangerous. Yeah. And we just get so comfortable with it. And I think that's part of what we find ourselves in right now, that we really have entered the reality TV space where we want to be entertained. And I think a lot of that was projected onto the hearings yesterday, which is why the response to it has been the way it has been relative to what we saw and heard versus to the substance of what was said.
So. Yesterday, Robert Mueller, in those 5 hours, I don't want to dwell on this, but I just want to make this point very quickly. Robert Mueller, over those 5 hours at different points, acknowledged that there were people in the Trump campaign that were in touch with Russians that shouldn't.
Yeah.
They lied about it. Some of them are going to jail for it. There was contact with the Russians. The Russians were trying to. Did it rise all the way to the president? No, the president wasn't in contact with them and obstructing justice with them, although he did once in the Oval Office with Russians say, now that he's gotten rid of Comey, he's, you know, the pressure is off of him. So that's not an active it's not sort of an active thing, but it's a passive reference that is alarming. He also acknowledged that the president could be charged with a crime once he leaves office based on all of the findings of obstruction of justice that were found there. And Republicans stayed very, very quiet. And then the president comes out and goes, the whole thing was a sham, it was a mess. I win, I win, I win. And he wins because he says he won.
He wins because he said he won. And number two, he'll win because the statute of limitations, if he gets a second term, will have run out at the end of his first year, the first year of his second term.
Right.
Because the statute of limitations is about 5 years on the stuff that he would arguably be brought under indictment for. So, yeah, in effect, the president winds up being above the law. Everyone, that was my takeaway. The one takeaway from the hearings yesterday was the president. No president, no one is above the law. No president, no individual. But in fact, the way you follow the rules play out if he is, because in the end, you won't be able to bring those charges against him at the federal level, and there may be some real questions at the state level with respect to statute of limitations, et cetera, et cetera. So,
well, I don't think anybody's going to charge him anyway. It wouldn't be good for the United States. If he loses the election, I think even if it's Joe Biden, he's going to have to pardon him and just move along. I honestly do. But I don't think it's going to be Joe Biden, because that's the next thing I want to ask you about. There's this CNN debate, which was a ridiculous conceit that they did last week, where they had to have an NBA draft card
immature.
Pulling. Yeah, it was awful. And even Wolf Blitzer at some point lost interest and also situational awareness about what was going on. Wait a second, we're putting one ballot in one box. I'll pull it from that box, move it over to this box, and I don't know what I'm doing. There was a moment today between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and also Cory Booker. He took a shot at Cory Booker. He was asked about these people, and he goes, "Well, listen, I'm not going to just take all this criticism of me sitting down." He mentioned about police in Newark, New Jersey, where Cory Booker used to be the mayor. He talked about how the police force was under investigation for use of force and other problems. The interesting piece of that for Chicagoans is that the guy who was the police chief of Newark at that time became the Chicago police superintendent, Gary McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Biden's pulling up that, he's pulling on that string right now with Cory Booker, who's, he's going to be in this debate next week on CNN. He's really got to kind of do something here. Otherwise, he's out, because he's lagging way behind. I think it's right now 31% for Biden, 24% for Kamala Harris. He's at 2%.
Ooh. When do we start seeing some of these folks drop out?
After this debate coming up.
Probably. Yeah, after Labor Day. They're going to hold off until they can get some polling around immediately after Labor Day, because that debate, I think it's in the middle of September, middle to the end of September. So they'll have some wiggle room to sort of build up. Now, look, if you've got to have 136,000 unique individual givers. You've got to be at 2% in the polls. That combo, if it doesn't work for you, it's going to be hard. And, someone like, Corey, who's been in the race as long as he has, is still polling less than 2%. It becomes problematic. It really does. And he should just plan at this point to go back to the Senate and use that perch for whatever he wants to do in the 2020 cycle, because it won't be on the ballot for president. And so I think that's going to be the truth and the reality for about 15 of those 24 people who are currently running. And, the money's just not there. I mean, you have this race that's broken up, chopped up the way it is. You're only going to get, unless you really galvanize those voters, you're only going to get so much. And folks are now looking at Buttigieg and whether, his money will follow his polling. Because he's not up there. He's not double digit in polling.
No, but he got money.
Right. But he's got money. So
do we
the money
know where that money came in from? Do we have any idea? Like, was that...
There was a lot of individual. Look, I think there was probably a lot of money that flowed in from various communities, gay community, for example, that really supported him when he first came out, and certainly when there were some controversies where people kind of attacked him because of his sexual orientation, et cetera. But that's got to then translate into support on the ground in places like South Carolina. In places like New Hampshire. And so it becomes a very, very tricky dance for him. And meanwhile, the battle lines are being drawn, or starting to be drawn, between Joe Biden and the others. Joe has a hard time. He's got a lot to prove in this upcoming battle debate. And I think he'll be able to do it. I think he's starting to show that he's ready to throw some punches, and that he may need to do that. But longer term for the Democrats, what does this mean, Ro? I mean, what look, they are dysfunctional and disoriented right now. Trump is winning and beating them. I'll tell the audience, and this is true. National polls are fun. They're cute. They mean absolutely nothing because that's not how we elect the president, and that's not how we vote. We vote based on 50 individual states and all the precincts they're in. So you need to look at state polls to see how a candidate is doing. In individual states like Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, et cetera,
right,
to get a sense of how that candidate is doing. A national poll is all about name ID. It is not about how people are going to vote.
But how important is unity of message, Michael? Because you've got a very divisive Democratic Party, divided Democratic Party right now. You've got this one side that's looking for a return to the dignified past, a normalcy, if you will. And then you have some of the younger segment, of more left side of the party that says that everything of the past is outdated and even a symbol of oppression. And that's not what we need. And so these older candidates step aside. We need someone newer, fresher, younger, more progressive. Does that eventually just sort of shake out and they find their own way?
It shakes out in a very bad way, potentially, for, because campaigns are not like real life. All right,
where
in corporate America, did I just shatter an illusion here?
You did.
Campaigns are not like real life, where, like in corporate America, you know, there is a corporate interest and a societal interest in having the diversity that's reflected there. That's not how people look at campaigns. People don't look at campaigns the way they look at the rest of life. You know, in a campaign, you're looking for who can beat the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who best reflects what I believe and what I want done.
Right. And who can win?
And that's pretty much the order. Yeah. Who can beat the other guy and who reflects that? You know, that person then reflects what I believe, what I want. Mm-hmm. So you don't have candidates start sitting around going, I'm only going to vote for a ticket if there's a black and a white on it. I'm only going to vote for a ticket if it's a man and a woman. Or that people don't do that. Now, the Democrats do that because they've got this whole diversity thing that they like to play out every day. And it reminds me, this whole thing with, particularly with the progressive, younger progressive, wanting to throw out, you know, anyone over 50, the battle between a parent and their child. You know, children rebel, and it's like, oh, you don't understand me. You know, I want this, and this is what I need. And then you're sitting there going, the parents are like, yeah, but no. That's not how this works.
Right. Yeah, you don't get it. You're not going to get, all right, go to your room. You're not going to get Medicare for all, okay?
Right,
you can't afford Medicare for all.
Because grandma can't afford your plan.
Right, we're not doing
insurance.
That. Just go, listen, go to your room. Play your Atari.
And your father's not planning to go out and mow the lawn himself. So, yes, he wants immigrants to come, we will do that.
Exactly right.
That's the hard truth of it.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. We got to go. But a little armchair analysis over the weekend. I ran into these people who were big Trump supporters in 2020, and the guy still is. The wife is paired off.
Huh.
And I found that to be really interesting. You know, like, and I know it's
really
an anecdotal sort of thing, but it was, and she's super conservative, but she's like, I just don't know. I don't know where I can go with this, you know, and it was, in their 60s. So I found that to sort of be, I think that's, you know, one of those kinds of shots across the bow. And these were, you know, Western state, super conservative, big money donor types. So
but this is just real quick, because I know you got to go. That's the Democrats' problem. Because that's the voter they want, and that's the voter they're not going to get if they keep going down this road where they're talking about open borders and taking away private health insurance, et cetera, yeah, and free education. That's not what that voter wants. That is a voter who voted for Trump and voted for Obama.
Right.
And now it's like, I'm off of this. I don't want to ride this pony anymore. But you're not giving me a bigger horse or a better horse to get on. So guess what? They'll either check out, which is a vote for Trump, or they'll wind up voting for Trump.
There you go. Michael Steele. Man of Steele.
Oh.
Man of Steele. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you next
week. Thanks, Michael.
You guys be good.
All right, later. Goodbye. Let's check in with Kim Gordon, find out what's going on in the news.
Texting isn't the only technology that takes a driver's eyes off the road.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, we got tickets to see The Wizard of Oz at Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier.
I'm dying to see that.
And we also have our local hero, Alex Panko, is going to join us. He is the first Chicagoan ever to complete the Explorers Grand Slam. He was here a couple weeks ago before he was just about to go off and climb another thing.
Right. Well, he was there on Everest when that that deadly week that happened, and he described what happened. But he's successful in achieving his particular dream.
Yes. And he's doing this all for Lurie Children's Hospital. So we will talk to him. All that coming your way. But first, we've got the WGN News in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. I have 4 tickets to The Wizard of Oz at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier.
Can I win those?
You cannot. All right, I'll give you an advantage. Caller number 19-312-981-7200 if you want to start calling now. So you can get in. Win a family 4-pack to The Wizard of Oz based on the classic MGM film, of course. 75-minute musical, sure to delight the entire family. After the show, meet the cast for autographs and photos.
How about that?
Playing now for till August 25th. Get tickets to ChicagoShakes.com.
Love the Chicago Shakespeare Theater.
All right. Good luck.
They do a good job.
Yep. All right. Our hometown hero is back with us, Alex Panko. We just saw him a couple weeks ago, and he was on his way, about a month ago, actually, I guess, now I think about it. And he was on his way to go summit something. This is what he does. This is all he does. He runs up and down on Mount Everest, goes down to the South Pole, and he climbs something down there. Even though it's the South Pole, he takes a shirt off. I don't know. There's a lot going on here. I don't know. Alex Panko, but he does it for Lurie's Children's Hospital and peaksofmind.org. If you're interested in learning more about all of that, his philanthropic efforts as well as his Explorers Grand Slam. And you've hit the Grand Slam by being your first Chicagoan ever to do it, right?
Yep, 49th person in the world to do what's called the last degree version, which is cross-country skiing the last degree to both the North and South Pole.
So the one you're back from most recently is...
I just got back from Denali.
Denali, okay.
It was actually t-shirt weather, so I could have taken off my shirt on the summit.
Wow.
This is what these guys
do. I know.
Do.
And they make it seem easy, right? Yeah. I can't imagine you camping out in the tents row and
I can't take my shirt off.
There's
a lot of things I can't do. Can you, all right, so let's just go through one more time. Just tell us what it is that you've done. All right, you've done Mount Everest, right?
Yeah, so the Explorers Grand Slam is the highest mountain on each continent, including Mount Everest, which I did right before Denali, and then cross-country skiing to the North and South Pole. So, it's finally all wrapped up, and it's kind of a little bit bittersweet.
Because there's what do you do now?
I know. that runs through my head every single second.
That is just incredible.
I don't know. There's got to be something. You got to space, I think, is your next frontier.
I have plans, but for the sake of my family, my girlfriend, I'm going to not give them a heart attack in the near future. So.
Oh, interesting. His plans, though. He's thinking.
Plans.
I'm plotting.
So your girlfriend is sitting right behind you.
I know.
She's a very understanding person.
I've
talked with her in the past. But she's got a smile
alarmed
when you said, I'm going to stay here for a while. And then when you said, I'm not sure what's next, she's like, whoa.
Yeah, she's an alarmed
very much so.
What? This is going to be a very long car ride home, if you know what I mean. What do you mean? What are your plans? All right. So but you also, didn't you summit something on the South Pole? Didn't you have to climb up something?
So I did the highest mountain in Antarctica, and then I did a first ascent of a mountain near kind of our base area that everyone flies into in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. This peak had never been climbed before, so I named it Mia Peak in honor of a girl named Mia who had passed away at Lurie Children's.
Because you yourself had gone through Lurie and had a brain tumor, and so you're raising money.
Yeah, it's a fantastic institution, beautiful building. I was up in Lincoln Park when it was just Children's Memorial, and it's an amazing facility. I'm actually going there next week to check out their new research institute. It's a brand new building, and it looks pretty impressive, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
The whole thing's really amazing over there. All right, so I just... we're just going to have to drag it out of you now. I mean, there's just no two ways around this, Alex Pankow. Where are what else? What other things could there be? Just give me like a spectrum of things that you would be able to do now that you've done everything. You've been on the tops of every peak of all these things. You cross country skied across the North and South Pole. I don't understand. What else could there be?
There's lots of mountains, but on top of that, I actually, when I started climbing, I made a bucket list of items in the Seven Summits. It was actually just Kili at first, but then it became the Seven Summits. I'll tell you this.
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, that was easier for me than one of those Amazon, those new like meals that are easy to prepare within 30 minutes. So I've tried to do a lot of different things since I got back, and I have a lot of different items to check off. In terms of the big exploration things, I'm actually starting sailing. I've never sailed. I'm really excited to do that. I'm taking some backcountry ski courses. Mm. So there's a lot of things I'm kind of exploring. I've never wanted to be just a mountaineer. I've always wanted to adventure and explore the world in many different ways. That being said,
if we have to dig you out of a snow mound somewhere, I swear to God.
He's doing pretty well so far.
That's what
I
his
mean, my gosh,
right now too.
She's a climber too. She's gone.
What is this backcountry skiing thing he's talking about? What the hell's that? What do you mean? That's where you jump out of a plane or something, right?
No, although hella skiing certainly sounds a lot of fun to me. Yeah. No, I've always been a skier in Bounds and Vail and Aspen. And if you actually go to a lot of the places outside the states, they actually ski hut to hut, not necessarily in the confines of a resort. So it's a different sort of adventure from the states. But ultimately, it's no secret that I love climbing. Mm-hmm. And I'm back in Chicago. I have a life here. I kind of have to almost rebuild and reestablish that life here.
Would you think of climbing man-made things ever?
What do you mean? Like showing up at the Sears Tower?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Bro, don't encourage that. People get in trouble for these things.
I'm asking a question. They don't get in real trouble. No one's going to federal prison for it.
Didn't people climb the new Vista Tower next to you guys?
Yes, that happened. And they were arrested.
Those were morons, though. That's a totally separate thing.
They were an Everest style climbers.
I could tell the police, hey, I'm a professional.
I mean, listen, when Spider Dan or some of the other like internationally known guys have done it, there was a group of people that jumped off the Trump Tower with a parachute that, you know, got up the side of it and then jumped off it.
Into the river?
Down onto Wabash is where they ended up.
No, thanks. You know, I obviously love
just
adventure,
asking.
But
yeah.
I'm not a straight up kind of adrenaline junkie. Let's put it that way.
It doesn't seem like it at all.
Free solo, you know, Alex Honnold. I have no interest in that stuff.
Okay.
But what do you crave when you come back from these climbs? Because you're gone, you're staying in tents, you're eating, I can't imagine what, and not really opportunities to bathe the way we do here back in your apartment and stuff like that. What do you need when you come back?
It's funny, by the way. We flew onto the glacier on Denali and brought pizzas with us, so that was our first meal on Denali. So that was awesome. The first thing I really, your body is used to needing 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day, which is not a bad thing in Chicago. So
It's easy here.
Yeah, I live near Nomi, so I'm obsessed with their sushi. So generally, the first thing I do is go to Nomi and grab sushi. Mm-hmm.
That is not an adventure. I could do that.
There's not enough calories. You're only like a 20th of the way there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I go to a lot of different restaurants pretty much nonstop when I'm back. You should see my Uber Eats and Postmates. but other than that, it's just really nice to kick back, go to a Cubs game.
Right.
And really just...
The scoreboard. You could climb the scoreboard.
Are you encouraging this?
Well, because I think he's got to go do something that's, you know...
You could be blamed for this if he does this.
I'm not going to get blamed for this. It would be him making the decision. I just like the idea of him getting vertical. It's a thing. It's like, it's in your blood.
Well, I should tell you, I'm throwing the first pitch at Wrigley August 5th, and that's going to be...
The mound is not as high as you think.
That's going to be a disaster. I've tried throwing snowballs at 14K camp. Our team was like, Alex, can you throw a ball straight? So we made snowballs, and I could not hit anything. I actually hit someone from another team like 10 feet from my target. So this is going to be interesting. I'm probably going to be a YouTube highlight.
That's good, though. I mean, there's always something to look forward to. And actually, the funny thing is that mound is higher than you think.
It is.
You know, you get up on it, and you're like, uh-oh.
Ooh,
like, you know,
it feels weird.
Snap an ankle coming down, you know, with your... It depends on which leg you're going to lead with. Your right hand Are you right-handed?
No, it's actually weird. My accuracy is in my right hand, but accuracy is in my left hand. So it's not ambidextrous. So I'm.
Oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. What's the date of this? I want to see this.
Yeah, I want to make sure I tune in. August 5th. Okay, we'll write that down. Okay. Not everyone could be a Sister Mary Jo. Remember her?
Remember the
Sox
employee who hit the cameraman standing 5 feet from the mound earlier this year?
Yes.
And became a viral sensation. Don't hit the cameraman standing near you, capturing the moment.
To be fair, that would probably be good and get maybe, you know, I could turn that in a little attention for peaks of mind.
Sure.
So.
There you go.
I know the way he's thinking. I'm telling you, climbing the scoreboard will do the same thing for you when you're being taken away by two portly officers. They hold your head as they're putting you into the SUV. That's the thing.
You can scream out your website, which is what again? What's your website?
It's peaksofmind.org.
Yeah, peaksofmind.org.
Or you can wear it. Do it shirtless and just have it spray painted across your back. That's the way you got to do it, like all Tyson-y and stuff. All right, well, it's always a great pleasure to have you in, and congratulations. You've done it now. You have the Explorers Grand Slam. You're the first Chicagoan to do it. Only the 49th person on the planet Earth to have ever done this, right?
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah, congratulations. Man. Been on top of everything. All the big peaks, all the all the continents.
Uh-huh.
And then he did the thing with the, I don't even understand how you do this, how you ski to the North and the South Pole. What time of year did you do that? Obviously, the summers.
The
for
summer
that.
There. And just to reiterate, there are also some other big mountains that are sometimes more challenging than Everest.
Really?
Not saying anything there.
Ooh, you're saying a lot there.
Well, Everest has become...
I'm getting a dirty look behind me, I'm pretty sure.
A ridiculous thing, though, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's Everest has become its own business, essentially, right? And there are some fairly... there's some great outfitters that can help you, and that then these are people that really want to take care and make sure that you're safe.
Right.
And there's other operators that are not so good.
Just taking the money to get you to the top. It sounds like.
Well, just to reiterate, mine had me train for 3+ years around the world, over 300 days in the mountains. So, and they care about their reputation. They're not going to take me up if I pose a risk to their reputation. So,
right.
Get a good outfitter if you're going to do it, and do it the right way, and train for years and appreciate the journey.
And when people donate to Peaks of Mind, that goes directly to the cause. You're supporting yourself through all these very expensive climbs, right?
Yeah, so I pay for all climbs out of pocket. We're pretty close to $500,000 raised. You go to my site, you click donate, it takes you directly to a Lurie's page. Like I said, we're near $500,000. The new institute, it's just amazing, and it just shows, the hospital there does such innovative, research-oriented, outcome-based work, and they've made huge strides where it used to be a very, very poor prognosis. So, great institute, and please support them. It's very dear to the Chicago, obviously, Chicago City as a whole.
Right. All right. No question.
Okay, maybe climb that building. I don't know. I'm working on this. I'm going to take them out, though.
Row.
This building's a good one. This is a nice building. And you know what? If you look at this, there's a bunch of handholds here. I don't even know what that means when I said it.
A lot of spiders that need to be cleared. So on the way up, you can swat them out of the way.
Alex Panko, peaksofmind.org. Go to that website and give generously. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks for being here.
Good
again.
To see you, Alex.
Here we go. Kim Gordon's got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Roe, the National Fraternal Order of Police, isn't clowning around about a comment made by Mayor Lightfoot on a hot mic.
Coming up after Kim's news, sweet Luke Kanellis will be here.
Yay.
To tell us about the bear season, which is just about to begin. They've reported to Bear Benet. I love this day, man. It's one of my favorite days. This and the day that the time changes in spring are my two favorite days of the year. Even though this portends fall, it doesn't matter to me because September is my favorite month.
Uh huh. Love September.
It's it's football nonstop. Like the end of August when college starts, and then football nonstop, and it's still beautiful outside, and it's still very nice. And then I just try to get so into the football and sporting seasons and hockey and all that I try to forget that it's October, November, December, January, and February. And then March happens, and then we turn the clocks back.
I see what you're saying there. 42 days until the Bears kick off the NFL season here at home.
Fitting they're reporting to camp on Walter Payton's birthday, too. A couple of guys rocking some Walter Payton jerseys today.
That's awesome.
Season just has me so hyped.
It just feels so good, doesn't it?
Yes. Right.
Feels so right.
President has been tweeting about ASAP Rocky.
He has?
Yes.
Yep. He's got two tweets out in the last 10 minutes about giving ASAP Rocky his freedom. We do so much for Sweden, but it doesn't seem to work the other way around. Sweden should focus on its real crime problem.
Which is what? Mexicans?
Does not
what
say
does
that.
He say? What does he have? What does he have
he
going
says
there?
The second tweet is very disappointed in the Prime Minister, Stefan Löfven, for being unable to act. Sweden has let our African-American community down.
Oh, my God.
I watched the tapes of ASAP Rocky, and he was being followed and harassed by troublemakers. Treat Americans fairly.
Isn't that the greatest place to live, according to, like, every survey ever?
Right. They're real crime problems.
Because they're actually really happy and nice people. Something tells me that this is, not quite accurate, Mr.
and
President.
And the pandering to the African-American community. You gotta let ASAP Rocky go. But I want more stop and frisk, and we're going to execute everybody. But we got to let ASAP Rocky go. All I really need is 10% of the black vote, and I am in. That's what Ivanka told me. All right.
So that's what he's got in his mind at the moment.
Because Kanye told him to do this. You know what? My mind boggles. Continues to boggle. I don't know what any of this. I don't get any of this. I don't even know who ASAP Rocky is, nor do I care. Should I know who ASAP Rocky is? I know that Bieber likes him. That's the only thing I know.
Wasn't on my radar until this happened.
Anybody? Kids? Anybody?
Did you guys know? Lauren,
I just,
you knew,
I just
right?
Know two songs.
Never heard of him.
That's 200% more songs than I know.
Did you know that the S in ASAP is a dollar sign?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means he's super hip and cool.
Yeah. Is the president doing that?
Yes, he is in his tweet. It's the dollar sign ASAP Rocky. So he's got it all figured out. Free Rocky hashtag. He's also starting.
Free Rocky.
Get on board.
Free Rocky. I've always said this about my African American. Oh, God. I think it should. And once they free ASAP Rocky, he should be the new head of ICE.
Oh, gosh.
Don't you think? Or something?
ASAP Rocky reporting for duty, sir.
Get the bodyguards who are kicking the crap out of some Swedish guy. Wait till you see this video.
I know. You got to see the video because somebody's at fault here. May not be ASAP Rocky, but somebody in his group was not really doing the right thing there on the streets of Sweden.
Classic ASAP Rocky.
Okay. There we go. I know this is going to work. Watch this. Hold my Diet Coke and watch this. All right, let's get right now to Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by the Gilkey Window Company. All right.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Exciting stuff.
Does that get you pumped or what?
Love hearing that. 42 days.
Sweet Lou Kanellis joins us right now. And this is
42 days. Is that what it is? 42
NFL
days?
Season opener. Yep.
Bears, I love it.
Packers.
Love it.
Now, we do this every year. You know, right as training camp starts, Lou and I. This has been decades. We've been doing this where we prognosticate, and Lou always tells us, no matter how sucky they are, even if the nadir of the John Fox era goes 11-5, no worries, 11-5. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe this team can go undefeated. That's how crazy I am. That's how
you
optimistic.
You are crazy.
Wow.
You are crazy with that schedule.
It is the toughest schedule, right? It's they do. They have the toughest schedule that I have maybe ever seen. They play everybody who's good.
Every single game is a landmine. But if you believe Khalil Mack, who said just moments ago, I'm more hungry now than I was last year. I don't know how that's possible. But if that man plays, and again, he has challenged himself. You know, when asked about, what kind of linebacker, how good does he want to be? He didn't say, I want to be the best linebacker in the NFL. He said, I want to be the greatest linebacker ever. You know what that reminded me of? Michael Jordan. Michael used to challenge himself like that.
Yeah, like you say, how could he be any better? It's like unbelievable. Didn't he make the top 100 Bears and he's only been with them for one season?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see him.
Now, I just want to say, today being Walter Payton's birthday.
Yeah.
Right?
65th.
He would be 60, only be 65.
How about that?
You realize he died when he was 44. It's crazy when you think
about
it. Too soon. 45, actually. 45. But, I mean, that's, yeah. When you stop and you think about the legacy and, you know, in those years, and, you know, we've talked to Jared about this over the years, his incredible, not just professional legacy, not just his philanthropic legacy, but just his, the Chicago appeal, right? The, what he did for the city before Jordan. You know, there was Walter Payton, the greatest football player of all times in the history of the NFL, the Walter Payton Award. That award itself is so emblematic of him, you know, with the cape on the sidelines, you know, that, that just, because he was, that's, you know, he was the most amazing athlete you could ever imagine putting on a football field, because he bounced off guys. You know, not like Barry Sanders. He'd run through you and then bounce off you and then cut you to the point where you'd literally break an ankle trying to catch it.
And there was not a more playful beer. And Walter would have been so proud of the way Tariq Cohen showed up at training camp today. Have you guys seen this?
I did. Unbelievable. I don't know what car that was, but that was entertaining to watch.
It's in a slingshot. It's classic. You've got to check out the video on the Fox 32 News at 5 and 9 later tonight. I'm not sure the head coach, Matt Nagy, was happy that he was cruising around or speeding around in a car like that.
The three wheels.
It was moving. Yeah. It was. That's what I was going to say, Lou, the way Peyton's legacy is carried on. I mean, obviously, my generation didn't have a chance to watch him play, but Mike Davis tweeted about it, happy birthday, Walter. Tariq Cohen wearing the Walter Payton jersey. He still resonates with all generations.
Of course. I mean, he was the greatest ever. And these guys get it. What I love about this Bears team is not only do they get along great, not only do they respect their coach, which typically happens after you go 12-4 in year one, but they also respect the history of the Chicago Bears. And I saw that firsthand at the Bears 100 celebration. I mean, it's just the character of this, of the players on this team, is unlike anything I've seen in a long time as part of this organization. I mean, you'd have to go back to the mid-'80s, and those guys, you know, guys like Campton, they understood, you know, the team, the franchise that they were playing for, that it was one of the founding franchises, and George Halas's meaning to the NFL. So I love everything about this team. It's all about staying healthy.
Lou, heading into the camp, the two storylines or areas I'm watching, the kicker position, obviously we're all going to be keeping an eye on that, and then Mitch Trubisky, who had, you know, okay, inconsistent year last year, year two, first year in Nagy's system, he has to make strides, but outside of those two areas and storylines, what are you kind of looking at and saying, okay, that's where they really need to get better at?
Just stay healthy. Yeah. Really, I mean, we're going to beat the kicker story, Kevin, and Anna and Ro to death.
Well, you should include Ro in that, because I think Ro will be a big part of that, kicking that to death.
I know. He's going to bring it up every single time I'm on this show.
Yep.
All right. And we're going to beat the Trubisky, you know, making incremental improvements, story to death. But here, it's all about health. And back in 2017, guys, this was not a healthy team. Actually, one other team suffered more injuries than the Bears did back in 2017, and it reflected it in their record. Last year, they were the third healthiest team. You have to have good health to succeed in this game. Right. Number one. Number two, do you believe that their depth is better? And, Ro, I'm going to throw the question at you.
Yeah.
Do you believe their depth is better this year?
Do I believe that they're... Okay, so the argument is that at running back, it's better. I don't know that I 100% agree with that. I love Jordan Howard, as I know you did. I do think that they are going to be... It's going to be a different offense. It's going to be... They're not... Because they don't have Jordan Howard, they're going to live the you know, sort of the Nagy concept here, which was this, you know, completely... You just don't know where anything is going to go. It's very circusy. I think that they're going to be okay at wide receiver. I'm so sorry to see Kevin White finally leave, but they...
I bet you are.
Yeah, but and I think you know, on defense, yeah, again, if they stay healthy, and again, that's the most important thing. They stay healthy. It's going to be something. Can I make a prediction right now?
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
The Bears won a game. This will be the 20th anniversary of the death of Walter Payton. This year, November 1st will be the 20th anniversary. That was a Monday. I'll never forget that as we were covering it. The that Sunday, the Bears played up at Lambeau
mm-hmm.
against Green Bay, right? And there was a last-minute block of an extra point, that which never happens. And it was still unclear how it happened, because it was like there was like a magic hand that came up, and everybody said it was the spirit of Walter. And so the Bears ended up winning that game by a point, 14-13. I mean, it was that kind of a ridiculous thing that happened in that day at Lambeau. And I firmly, firmly, firmly believe on November 3rd, when they play Philadelphia, something very wild is going to happen. I'm making that prediction for you right now.
Where's Brian Robinson? Wasn't Brian Robinson the guy who got the prop to block it?
And yeah. I think the ball ended up on top of the... I remember that game, they painted the 34 football logo on the field, and the ball that was blocked ended up kind of spun right on top of that.
Yes.
It was something crazy like that. I remember that game.
The whole thing was very, very, very mystical, and I'm not a very mystical guy. And
I like it.
Yeah. And Brian... And, you know, the funny thing is that Brian Robinson wasn't even in that game. He was... Brian Robinson was in high school, and yet he's credited with it. I don't know. The whole thing is very weird. But I have a feeling, because this, this is a year where they could, you know, there's a lot of things are the stars are aligning a lot of ways. And again, I'm a big believer. I'm going to step away from my friend and one of the people I've respected the most in Bears history and Bears organization, the great Ed Obradovich. OB firmly believes that there should be, you know, tough preseason minutes for these guys, downs for these guys, snaps for these guys, that they have to go play. And I do not. I think what Nagy did last year, did they come off a little? He claims that they would have won in Green Bay at the opener if they had just had, which would have, given them, they would have gotten, into the, they would have not had to play in the wild card round, right, if that had happened. And he claims that one loss was because they weren't properly conditioned. These guys come to, Lou, you do this, you see them, they come to camp fully conditioned, don't they?
Yeah, listen, and I respect Ed Obradovich as much as anyone, being the Bears fan that I am. But listen, Matt Nagy earned everyone's trust with the way he handled everything last season, along with his coaching staff and Ryan Pace, the GM. So to dispute or not agree with the way he ran training camp, I think would be a mistake. No one knows his players better than he does. No one knows those Bears better than the trainers do, the training staff, the strength coaches, the dietitian that they've hired. What they did last year, listen, if sitting out that third meaningless preseason game means that this team, for the most part, is going to be healthy all season long, honestly, I don't care if I don't see Mitch Trubisky all preseason long in those four games. If you want to see Mitch play, you want to see the development of the offense, you want to see the new running backs, you want to see Cordarrelle Patterson, you want to see how they operate against arguably the best defense in the NFL, I recommend you drive to Bourbonnais and watch 7-on-7s.
They might have record crowds this year. Right, Lou? I mean, all your years covering it, I think it's going to be packed down there in Bourbonnais.
I can tell you, Kevin, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I don't remember this much excitement about a Bears season. And I'm going to go back to the mid-80s. I get it, back in 2012 after they had that run in 2011. There was some excitement. But and the same thing with 2007. But because of the defense, because of the way the defense played last year, and because of the way Ryan Pace has put Mitchell Trubisky in the ideal situation to succeed with all these playmakers, I truly believe that this team is on the has as good a chance at getting the Hard Rock, what do they call it, Hard Rock Hotel Stadium in Miami as any team we've had in a long time.
Hey, this is something really interesting. Remember the last couple of seasons, the Bears were almost exclusively noon starts, right? That was it. The NFL, in terms of the schedule makers and networks, nobody really wanted to touch them. It was like, okay, whatever, especially during the John Fox era.
And then they started getting flexed, though, into every primetime game as the season went on.
As the season went on last season, right? They started getting flexed.
Yeah. But you're right.
They start this season with seven noon starts and 6 prime time starts. That doesn't even count the afternoon, you know, game of the week starts that they're going to have. And that and you know that they're going to get flexed on Sunday, December 15th against Green Bay at Green Bay. That game will be consequential at some level, and I think they're going to want to, you know, NBC is going to want a piece of that. So it is going to be just a very it's such an exciting moment, and you have to go back to the 80s to be this excited about it, and even in the mid 2000s, right? I mean, that was a fluke Super Bowl appearance.
It felt fluky. In my lifetime, it's never been like this. All things considered, the excitement of last year, you have a real defense, you have a quarterback giving you some hope, a lot of weapons on offense. The whole 100-year thing was such a great way to kick off this year, to see all those 85 players and past players kind of mixing with these guys and how much they got along. It just, everything's kind of coming together. I've never experienced this sort of anticipation for a Bears season.
All right, so Sweet Lou, we're not going to do our predictions yet. We'll wait till the eve of the regular season to do our predictions.
All right, that sounds good.
That's fair.
But can I just leave with this? Let me just leave with this. Okay. They need to get off to a great start. And we always say that, and sometimes I think, you know, it's just the typical media talk. Yeah, they got to get off to a great start. Or the players say the same thing, but truly I believe it to be the case because, you know, the one question mark is they have a new defensive coordinator in Chuck Pagano, and nothing will get these players to buy in more to Coach Pagano than if they win and play well early on. So how important the start is. But we'll talk more about it later.
Yeah, but let me just to follow up on that, Green Bay, right, the opener, right, mm-hmm. and like international television for that Thursday night opener.
Going to be huge.
Then Denver winnable, at Washington's winnable, Minnesota's winnable, and then at Oakland before the bye.
I love your promise, but you just kind of skipped right over the Packers, who have a new head coach. So they, too, Matt LaFleur, needs to show Aaron Rodgers that he belongs in there as head coach. So I wouldn't just breeze right by the Packers.
I didn't breeze past them. That's going to be a tough game.
And the Broncos, I don't have the exact number in front of me. I will when we actually dissect the schedule.
Yeah.
But I think the Broncos over the last 3-4 years at home in the month of September are 19-1.
I got to go, Lou. Now you're bringing me down.
No one needs facts like that.
What the
Thanks.
Hell? Right.
Thanks
Second
a lot.
Part of facts.
Bye, Lou.
Thank you,
I
Lou.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Sweet Lou Canellis right there. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, keeping kids safe at school, the focus of a hearing in Washington today.
We got a top 5-5 coming up. Do we have Bears at top 5-5? No. I just want to think about the Bears. I'd like an all Bears top 5-5. Not for today. It's too late. But I now that it's all started, I'm out of my mind. I know, but it's good enough. Although tomorrow they'll be the first. Oh God!
What?
I just hope it's somebody we've never heard of, because there'll always be somebody
that gets injured in training camp.
Oh yeah, and the first days there'll be somebody who twists a something or snaps a this or a
We do have our first physically unable to perform.
What?
Right.
That's the pup list. Jonathan Harris has been placed on the defensive lineman. Sometimes these guys just have nagging injuries. They're not ready to go, or they're not in game or ready shape.
Or they forgot their TV at home. They have to go back and get it. Right. Their big screen.
Yeah.
You know, right. Things happen.
All right. We've got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokan Show with Anna DeVlante.
Yes. Free Rocky and Boycott Sweden both trending this afternoon after the president's tweet to try to get the rapper out of Sweden, even though they have now going to hold him, they've announced, while he faces trial.
Mm-hmm. He's going to go to war with Sweden over Rocky, ASAP Rocky.
I feel it coming. Feel it coming.
Does he want to boycott Sweden, too? How about tariffs? Do you ever hear tariffs? They're called tariffs. Try to sell a Saab here, you Saab.
Are you allowed to import wives from Sweden still?
Hold on. Wait, hold on.
I just, I don't
Uli, the Swedish au pair that was, maybe, does Barron have a Swedish au pair, do you think?
What about all the hockey players, too?
Yeah, got to let them come through. Don't boycott that.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
So we'll keep monitoring that situation.
It is the most ridiculous thing. Because, you know what, for him, you know, there's two things he thinks about. Kanye said it was a good idea. I'm going to get African Americans. They're going to love me. Lowest unemployment ever. And I got you ASAP Rocky out of jail.
I just urge you to watch the video because I don't know what came before the video. There are always things that are left out. But if you watch that video, definitely the people who surround Rocky, who are part of his bodyguard team, were kicking the crap out of that guy on the ground and are seen clearly in that video. I don't know what the guy did. I have no idea because they don't show that on the video. But this one kid's on the ground and they're all kicking him and punching him.
He said something about me to ASAP Rocky. Rocky defended me and that's what they did. And they should let him go. I think he's going after the Swedish prime minister or president, whatever the hell they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Swedish prime minister, like he's, he's a loser. They should really concentrate on their real crime problem. They don't have a crime problem. When you compare crime-ridden cities, it's always compared to Stockholm, Sweden, right? Like Stockholm, Sweden is the zero crime capital of the world. Oh my God. Oh my God.
People are suggesting that ASAP Rocky will be performing at campaign events for the president when he gets back.
He's my black guy. Coming up, Kris Kristofferson tickets. Not my black guy. You're going to see him at the Chicago Theater on Friday, November 15th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com to see Kris Kristofferson. That's quite a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Jackson Maine before Jackson Maine was Jackson Maine.
Yeah,
don't bring it up. All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Three teenage girls have now been charged in connection with that beating of a disabled girl recorded on video. The video went viral on social media earlier this week. The girls' ages were 13, 14, and 15, charged with battery and mob action before they were taken into custody. A video appeared on Facebook showing at least one of the attackers apologizing.
Everybody, we are so sorry. We really sorry.
What are you saying?
I'm still on 95th and Eggleston, Ma. Everybody, we sorry. Please, just leave us alone.
I'm sorry.
Please. Oh, my God.
Well, that wasn't. When you see that video, you can't believe it.
You can't unsee it. It's really violent.
Yeah.
I think that she's a disabled girl and they're. It's a pretty disgusting thing to view.
During a press conference this morning, Police Superintendent A. Johnson says that social media companies are not to blame, but they could help by not spreading this kind of violence on the internet.
Well, you know what? Look, if you're dumb enough to post a crime on social media, then that just shows you where your head is. Because let's face it, this stuff is real time. So the social media company wouldn't know that's what they're going to post. What we want them to do, though, is when they discover things like that, to take it down immediately, because we don't want to help get thrills out of things like that, because it's not fair to the victims.
No, I'll say. She suffers from a mental illness. She's being beaten and kicked, and they're laughing at her.
And then they're so sorry.
So sorry. I don't know that does it.
Nope. Checking in at
number four.
Okay, the hot mic moment that will not go away for Lori Lightfoot. Patrick Murray is the Murray or Murphy?
Murray.
Patrick Murray is the Fraternal Order of Police Vice President. He was stepping up to a microphone for a public hearing, and Lori Lightfoot is saying under her breath that she doesn't really like this guy.
No, back again. This is FOP clown.
the FOP clown. Murray was on the John Williams show earlier today and reacted.
You know, as far as what she said about me, I disregard that. The police officers that know me work very hard. I work very hard in what I do, and I'm here to defend the police officers that basically I take care of. That's why maybe she got a little upset, but the fact of the matter is, when a story comes out, you need to hear the whole story, not bits and pieces. You go to court, you hear the truth, not what is told sometimes in the news, but that's what needs to be happening. These guys, like I said, are hardworking, they're good people, and sometimes they're portrayed the opposite.
He was then asked if the mayor should apologize to him personally.
Is she going to apologize because she absolutely believes that she did the wrong thing, or is she going to apologize because this is the politically correct thing to do? Or, you know, if that's how she feels, I don't want an apology.
Did seem like that's how she feels. She said, I'm sorry I said that out loud. It wasn't sort of like, sorry I said that.
All right. Okay. We got to start acting. We have to start putting down those barriers and getting things done for the betterment of the city of Chicago, for the people of the city of Chicago.
I think she's doing that in general. I think she didn't know that mic was on.
No, I get that.
So,
but it happened, and when something like that happens, it really is incumbent on her to be more clear about that, because she doesn't get to call the guy a clown. I mean, it was under her breath. Sorry, I'm sorry I said that out loud. Isn't good enough. I'm sorry, it just isn't. It isn't appropriate enough, and especially if you want to be seen as a sort of an ecumenical leader here, because she's the mayor of the city of Chicago. She's not running, trying to create a wedge issue. She is the mayor. She has a responsibility, and she's got to work with the FOP at some point.
She does. That's true.
Right? So even if she's upset,
they don't see eye to eye on a lot of issues.
Right. I get it. And, I mean, she was from COPA and all that. She was at the Police Accountability Board. I understand all of that. But at the same time, this is not helpful, because she represents, she's ultimately the boss of those 12,000 men and women on the Chicago Police Department, most of whom are union members. So, all right. We move along now.
Moving along.
Kim Gordon telling us what's going to happen here at the bottom of the hour.
The Department of Children and Family Services tightening the rules for foster homes.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. There we go.
Number 3.
Latest episode of No Interruption, Fox Nation host Tommy Lahren sat down with former NFL star Arian Foster to discuss all things politics, their differences in opinion, and where they found common ground. Foster, four-time Pro Bowl running back, garnered media attention for a political statement he made after he and three Miami Dolphin teammates kneeled for the national anthem before a game in 2016. At that time, Foster said it was his right to protest and called attention to the oppression of blacks and other minorities, but, well,
I have never said that Colin Kaepernick or you don't have the right to kneel. You absolutely do. I will stick up and stand up for that right all day long. Mm-hmm. You have the right to expression. Now, the NFL has a right to say, we're an employer and you're not doing that during your work time. Mm-hmm. So I believe in that as
Which is ridiculous as well.
Well, I mean, it's an employer. So if my employer says, Tommy, you can't do this, I mean, it's an employer.
It's a logically inconsistent stance on their part. If you want to say don't make political statements on the field, then don't have the military fly over at the beginning, or don't have a deal with them with the Department of Justice that has millions of dollars advertising the military. It's a logically inconsistent stance.
Hold your horses.
Is Tommy react to that?
As your employer, they get to make that. Whether it's right or not, they get to make it.
I mean, that's why I can appreciate your stance on abortion, because it's logically consistent with being a conservative. And so, however you feel, just be logically consistent. And that's my issue with people who take issue with the protesters. It's not logically consistent. And in the NFL in general, they're emotionally driven. They're reactionary and not proactive.
Kevin?
I was just going to say, look, I was always on the stance. I didn't care if they kneeled. I thought it was okay if they wanted to express their opinions that way. But to compare it to the NFL doing the military salute and having deals with the government, those aren't political statements. Those are just, that's just a show of patriotism. Now, you could talk maybe the advertising deal, maybe a little bit, but it's not like those are political statements. An aircraft flying over a stadium isn't a political statement. It's a show of patriotism. It's different. I mean, I don't care if a guy kneels, but I don't see his logic in that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I think they're gonna have a lovely show together, and I hope they fall in love and have children. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number two.
Uh oh.
What's going on?
This gets everybody very excited.
It does.
Lauren just perked up a little bit.
I wasn't touching that last one, but now I'm all
she's in.
I'll leave this one to you. I'm tagging out. You're tagging in.
Put the president of HBO programming in a room full of TV critics, and no surprise, the end of Game of Thrones is going to come up. Casey Bloys, answering questions for the first time since Thrones ended, asked at the Television Critics Association summer press tour about the fan petition to redo the whole final season.
I love that.
You know, the petition, I think, shows a lot of enthusiasm and passion for the show, but it wasn't something that we seriously considered. I can't imagine another network would, but, you know, who knows?
No. No. No one's spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to redo that just because some people are petty.
They just got 32 Emmy nominations for the final season. I think they did something right.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, this is.
I enjoyed the final season. I don't understand why anybody's on an island for that. It's just the hardcore Game of Throners, right? They're really angry
about
something.
Hardcore Game of Thrones.
Are they upset? Who's upset about this?
Jags.
Yes.
Jags. There's 10% of the population are Jags. No matter what, they're complainers. They're whiners. Nothing is ever right. They're right. Everybody else is wrong. We know who these people are. We know who they are. And these are the thing is, because they bought a phone and then get on and they're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of this stuff, Snapchat and whatever, Tinder, right. Whatever they're on, they get to tell everybody what to do. Right? Because they were, I have an opinion. That's more important than your opinion. I'm just going to tell you that this is not how I would have done it. And Daenerys did not deserve to die. Shut up! This is a piece of art by artists, by thousands of artists who put this thing together. And it's the vision of the producers and the director. And of course, that the guy who, you know, looks like
George R. R. Martin.
Yes, George R. R. Martin, who looks like he should be in Game of Thrones, too. He looks like he's Samwell Tarly's grandfather. That guy, it's all part of it. Just be everybody cool out. You don't like it? You don't like it. But you know what? I don't care about your stupid opinion because it doesn't count. I don't care how much, like, my opinion doesn't count. It's not going to affect you. It doesn't affect me. And they're not going to go back and spend $1 billion to redo the last season because you're a moron.
1.7 million have signed it. So 1.7 million
are
Jags.
Jags. And that's in the English language. I mean, I'm going to imagine that there were people signing that petition in England and other places where.
Oh,
that,
yeah. You know, all over the world.
Yeah. Screw all of them.
I agree.
Finally, she agrees with me about something.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Mark this down, would you? It's the first time.
On this day.
5/29, July 25th.
Either agreed with me or not corrected me. All right. Are we on to the final? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Number one.
When our friend Frank Robb swooped into Chicago and swiftly caught the Humboldt Park alligator, he instantly became a celebrity. And some of that fame has carried back to his native Florida. Wow, how about this?
Hmm.
You know, when he was here.
In studio with us.
You know, he was in studio with us. He threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game.
Turned down the Buckingham Fountain lights.
Right.
Ate pizza, deep dish pizza for the first time.
Right.
Loved it.
So what they did is down in Jacksonville at WJXT TV. News 19.
I picture like a Ron Burgundy kind of guy as the main anchor there.
They made him, they let him do a weather forecast.
Yeah, Tuesday, 50% chance of rain. Wednesday, it's pretty much going to rain, so prepare for it. That cold front's coming through, right?
That's a cold front.
Yep. Lots and lots of rain with that. And Thursday, it's going to continue to rain and still be halfway decent. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if I get out of the way of Monday, starting to warm back up. Avoid solar noon. Don't be out there in the heat. Trust me, you don't want to be out there in that. And, it looks like it's going to probably rain Saturday and Sunday. take your umbrella, be prepared for that. Monday, maybe back to normal. Afternoon showers.
Award-winning stuff.
It actually wasn't that bad.
I love that guy.
He is great. So gracious.
Coming up on News 19, how this alligator may end up in your toilet. Red alert. What is solar noon? I've never heard that expression before. Is that in like tropical places or?
I think that's when the sun is at its highest peak.
Okay.
Stay away.
Is that something bad if you're in Florida?
Well, it's...
I mean, in the summer?
The sun is directly above you, so it's beaming down and very hot.
Yeah. So avoid solar noon.
Shade.
Yeah.
I keep going with explanation?
No, no. I got it.
Classic solar noon.
See how she turned on me just right there? It was okay. I had her at Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. And then as soon as I'm like a dope about solar noon, she's like, all right, I got this. Step aside, everybody.
Just trying to help educate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She all knew right. it.
Anyway, well, we congratulate him. I love that guy. I do too, Kev. He's such a gentleman and so humble about. I mean, I know he's an alligator trapper, but he's you know, he was so awed to be in Chicago and to see how everybody was so nice up here.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. Never been here before, and he just said he just felt so grateful for the opportunity to meet so many people. Oh my gosh. It was not the guy you thought when you saw the tough guy picture image of the dude who's going to go capture the alligator.
No.
But he's a hero.
That's true. All right. And on that note,
the top five at five.
Bro Concho with Anna DeBlantis on 720 yes. WGN. And let me just say a few things here.
All right.
We tomorrow are going to be broadcasting from the Hilton Chicago for the 12th annual Blackhawks Convention.
Yes. Going to be fun.
The worldwide toast to Rocky, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. It is going to be an amazing weekend if you're a Hawks fan. And there's so much excitement about the changes they made in the offseason here.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a really great fall of sports in Chicago.
Yeah, how about it?
I think the Cubs are going to make the playoffs. The Sox are going to be competitive in September when... And you're going to see Luis Robert, I think, for the first time here. There's going to be that. The Bears are going to be hot. And then the Hawks are going to be hot. And I cannot speak to the Bulls at the moment.
No.
Still a work in progress.
Leave them out of that
story. Are they still here?
Not only are they still here, one of the leading, it's the most amazing thing, one of the leading attendance teams in the NBA.
That's how strong the brand is.
Yeah.
Dedication. Thanks to the 90s dynasty. It.
People keep thinking that Jordan's going to come out onto the court and win something.
He's coming out of retirement, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
that is
weird.
Strange.
Yeah, they do kind of gotta get this together. Well, the NBA is a mess because the NBA is just elites and then everybody else,
right?
So, and then the players get to decide who the elites are. It's like summer camp, and when the players are picking their own players. It's like how the Bulls are how I felt my entire school experience when they go, all right, pick your team. Like for dodgeball, and then the guys would, you know, pick the, and then I'd be the last guy picked.
Oh, sorry, Ro.
Well, not the last guy. There was a kid that, you know, had a growth stunt the situation, so he'd go after me. Anyway,
that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened. Anyway, so the point is that that's how I feel about the Bulls. But anyway, the Hawks convention is tomorrow. Totally separate situation.
All weekend.
Yep. And we're going to be there for the opening ceremonies. Eddie Olczyk is going to be doing the whole opening ceremony deal. Steve Cochran and Mr. Ennett are going to be doing our broadcast from that opening ceremony. Yep. And then we're going to be doing all the window dressing before and after that. Scheduled to appear on the program. They gave me a list.
Oh, we got it now.
Yeah, we got the list.
Yesterday it was all hush-hush, super secretive.
We've got Connor Murphy, our friend, is going to be on, defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin DeHaan. Is he Swedish? I hope he,
he's Canadian.
Are we boycotting Sweden
okay,
now?
I just want to know.
Due to ASAP Rocky.
Where we are on ASAP Rocky. I don't want to offend anybody on ASAP Rocky. But Rocky Wirtz will be there.
Oh.
I wonder if he's related to ASAP Rocky.
I think he's going to distance himself from ASAP at the moment.
And then Jeremy Colleton is going to be with us?
Yes.
The head coach?
Last year you gave him some pretty great advice. Do you got anything teed up for him this year?
I do. I'll share it with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Are you going to share it with him tomorrow?
Yeah. And I'll get the same expression that he gave me when I told him last year, the key to success in the NHL, my friend, since I've been in the NHL longer than he's been in the NHL.
Uh-huh.
As a broadcaster. Yep. No big deal. Said, so, you know what? You know what you have to do, Jeremy? Coach. Just got to, at the end of the game, have more goals than they do.
He took that to heart. Mm-hmm. You know, he went on a run after that.
Ray ran out is what happened after that.
Yeah, he did.
Signal security.
He looked at all the people he had lined up in the room with those eyes, like, kind of save me sort of thing.
Yeah, and he got out.
He's like, all right, great then, talking to you.
And then Jay Blunk and Al McIsaac, Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations. And then there's a special guest, and they won't tell us who it is. Now, and
ooh,
I swear to God.
That's kind of fun.
And I believe that there's a conspiracy happening here on this very radio program.
Why?
I believe that our producer, Jeff Carlin, our executive producer of this radio program, award-winning radio program.
Uh-huh. Great producer.
The best radio, local radio program in America, as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh. Me too.
I believe he knows who the special guest is and will not tell us because he's afraid I'm going to say it and they want it to be a surprise.
No, I don't think he does know.
I think they haven't really been able to lock down the person, but they think they know who it is. They've told Jeff who they think it is, but don't tell Ro because they may not be there.
He doesn't want to let Ro down.
Is it A or B?
Well, you did kind of blab about guests that weren't really guests before you knew that they were booked or not. So maybe that's true.
God, you are just, look at you.
Well, I was just noticing that had happened.
I can't, everybody's out to get me.
This is a packed show, considering we got the opening ceremony.
I don't know how we're going to get it all in. We'll figure it out.
We say it before every show.
I think we should try to get there early and do the emergency goalie challenge,
yes.
The whole safe room thing, and try to get out.
I agree.
The escape room, excuse me.
You guys do that. I'm going to go to the
room. I need a safe room. I'm going to demand that. Actually, I think we're at this point, Jeremy Colleton is asking for a safe room, so like, he does not have to go on the show with me. He's leading us off tomorrow, by the way. Be there right at the top of the show.
Nice.
Awesome.
Jeremy Colleton will be with us.
Very cool. Nice to have him back.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that John Taves is not returning to the show. I noticed that.
Well, he might be the special guest.
I don't know. He's not on the list here. He's been on all the shows, and he's done with me.
He's
just done with me.
Maybe he's the special guest.
He sometimes, like, I ask a question and he looks at me like, are you a moron?
Well, he's just got the serious look. So no matter what you ask him, you're
intense.
Like, whoa, did I say something to offend him?
Yeah.
Something simple as, hey, how's your day going?
Yeah.
And then he gives you the glare. Looks you're like, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
Sorry. Taser. Sorry.
All right. What's Kelvin DeHaan's nickname?
Hanser.
Is he Hanser?
I don't know. We'll find out.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, I'm probably guessing that's what they're going with.
Okay.
Hey, Hanser. Hey there, bud.
Yeah. And Murphy's Murphs, I think we learned.
Oh, hey there, Murph.
Yeah, that's like, you got to do better than that.
Yeah, that's not too creative.
Yeah.
Murphs?
I do love, and as we pointed out earlier, this will be Connor Murphy's return to the show after he was, I believe, sexually harassed by Judy
Assaulted.
Pylak. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in studio and Judy just kind of crept up behind him. Hey, I'm Mrs. Robinson, was her line. That was her opener.
And then, you know what's really funny about that moment? Because there are two Connor Murphys in the NHL, and one of them is like some Instagram star, right? Who's like constantly got a shirt off.
Well,
and
I think
he's
just a bodybuilder, like a professional bodybuilder. So if you type in Connor Murphy, this bodybuilder pops up.
So I think when she typed in Connor Murphy, she thought that was this Connor Murphy.
Right.
Who's, you know, a great-looking young, you know, hockey player. They're in great shape. They're the best athletes, I think, of the five major sports. Or they're four major, let's face it. And then he's really got a great personality, really funny kid. And then, you know, she comes in, and I think she was trying to figure it out because it didn't look exactly like the pictures that she'd seen on the internet.
Nothing like the
pictures. But she was still going to throw herself at him, which I thought was weird.
I think you guys are giving her more credit than she deserves. I don't think she cared.
I don't think she cared.
We said professional athlete, and she's like, okay.
This was minutes before her retirement, where she was she like, everything was going straight out the window at that moment.
She was breaking all the rules.
Yeah, she didn't care.
Yeah.
And if Judy didn't care, that just worries me about what's going to happen in the, whether it's next year or in 5 years, when the president's in that no man's land after he's lost and he's no longer the president and there's somebody new coming in. Oh, my God. What is that going to be like?
That'll be minutes after leaving office.
Oh, my God. So that was that was Judy's thing. She was, you know, it already announced, and then she was just going to like, she walked around the whole place with a martini in her hand.
She did.
For like weeks.
She was rarely available for newscasts. It seemed
right.
Like. It was like an inconvenience. She was always talking and surrounded by people, and then if you called her name, it'd be like, what? Like, it's still your job, right? I mean, you know.
Here's the news with Judy. What do you guys want?
What? Why are you
busy
bothering
in
me?
Here.
I don't have it.
Booking a trip to Mexico. I'm never coming back.
Good for Judy.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she deserved it. She'd been here for 30 years, and she deserved it. And she get, but she gave it. But you know, and again, for some reason, it all sort of crumpled down on me. Like
that was your fault.
It was like my fault. And then when Connor Murphy, just back to the Connor Murphy story, when Connor Murphy was like, when she walked out of the studio after she did the whole, I'm Mrs. Robinson thing, you know, with, again, the moisture of her breath on his ear.
There was some deep breathing down the neck in the back
while
he was sitting and she was standing.
Exactly. And he looked at me like, what am I supposed to do here? And then we walked him out. He was like, he almost wanted security. It's like the way Colleton's going to look at me tomorrow. All right.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mrs. Robinson.
I mean, I know who you mean. Yeah. But I've got a girlfriend. And then I think he faked the back injury so he didn't have to play.
Yeah, he did. Right. Shortly thereafter.
Come on with us anymore.
I didn't want him. So he didn't have to, in case she was showing up at the game. That hurts. Yeah.
And then there she was on the Zamboni.
That's right. She was on the Zamboni.
Hi, Connor.
Where's Connor Murphy?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
It's all working out.
And I told her about the Zamboni. I think she had a beer on the Zamboni. You're not supposed to even have that. I think she took one with her. And I told her, I said, you know, she always wanted to do it. She was going to the Queen Wave. I go, after the first rotation, you know, there's like four more. You've already waved at everybody who's still in there in between periods.
Right. And then you just kind of like get the tired wave back, or maybe nothing at all.
Right. She was upset about that, too. All right. Coming up on the program at 6 o'clock tonight, Mr. Roper is going to be here. And he's going to tell us about a couple of films. And also, we're going to talk about the Chicago, the South Side, right?
Right. People are saying this is a real look, or there's a lot of authenticity to it, life on the South Side, and see what Richard has to say about it.
But it's a comedy.
I know.
Well, there's funny there, too.
Right. There have been several documentaries about crime on the South Side and things like that.
We rarely cover the funny on the South Side, but there's got to be funny. There's got to be people laughing there, right? So there's a pair of tickets also to go see Kris Kristofferson at the Chicago Theater Friday, November 15th. This is your first opportunity to get these tickets. They go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com, but you can get them first. Stay tuned here. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Well, we're not hearing much from the president on the latest missile launch by North Korea.
Kim Gordon's got the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for that. Coming up, as I said, Kris Kristofferson tickets. He's doing a tour. He's really something.
Yeah.
Really something.
And the whole e-scooter program going exactly as you predicted, Ro.
Mm-hmm.
As an e-scooter today hit a pedestrian, then as the cop tries to pull over the man on the e-scooter, that e-scooter gets a driver thinks he's being pulled over and ends up hitting the guy on the electric scooter.
Classic domino effect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. I mean, but, and again, you're trying to pull over a guy on an e-scooter.
Right.
We're using a police car.
But he doesn't even have a license or anything identifiable. This is the problem I have with it.
This is the problem you have with it.
There's several problems. But if you can't identify who they are, when they do the dumb stuff, there's no recourse. Hits a pedestrian. And then keeps going.
Now, do we know, does that person have injuries that required medical attention?
The guy on the e-scooter, yes. The pedestrian, apparently, no. Pedestrian's okay. So it worked out okay for the pedestrian. But the officer saw it, tries to pull over the e-scooter guy. The whole thing seems ridiculous, but that's what happened. And then the car thinks, oh, no, he's trying to pull me over, the driver of that car, in between the police and the e-scooter. He ends up kind of hitting the e-scooter guy.
That's the most horrific example of karma I've ever heard.
I know. It's like, oh.
All right.
So it's all going swimmingly.
My predictions, and you know how good my predictions are.
Well, yes, they are.
My predictions are 50-50. They come true half the time. My prediction that the July 15th would be the date that the e-scooter program would be suspended in Chicago has come and gone. I now must move it to August 15th. But the whole thing is just beyond stupid.
Well, he's riding the e-scooter on the sidewalk, which is part of the problem, too.
Right. You're not supposed to do that.
No.
Or your bike or anything else like that. Although I did see a guy, I like those skateboards that skate themselves, where you hold a little controller in your hand and you just stand on it and it just goes.
Very fast. They can move really quickly.
Well, there's a guy doing that on the sidewalk today. I wanted to make a citizen's arrest.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride. Sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
That's Willie Nelson in collaboration with Kris Kristofferson.
Let's get that
Kris Kristofferson writing sound to it. There you go. There you go. With the sea, I did abide. All right, so Kris Kristofferson's going to be in town. Listen to this. Yes. He's a legend, folk troubadour, folk country troubadour. He was Jackson Maine before Jackson Maine was Jackson Maine. But after after Leonard Maine or whatever the guy was from the first one was.
Oh God.
1976 Stars Born. John Norman Howard, they named his character.
John Norman Howard.
And his band was the John Norman Howard Speedway.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard Roper. Sure. Caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 rips us off for a pair of tickets to see Kris Kristofferson at the Chicago Theater on Friday, November 15th. Don't miss this all-American legend performing his classics, joined by Merle Haggard's band, The Strangers. Get tickets starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Nice. All
awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Legend.
Ticketmaster.com.
That's very cool. That album, Jesus Was a Capricorn. He called it on one of his albums. People were like, no.
Can't say that.
Yeah. Always a rabble rouser and a troublemaker.
He was, yeah.
Good
he
actor, is. Too. He had a really, you know, did a lot of good movies, too.
Oh, he was in, wasn't he in Semi-Tough or?
Yeah, Semi-Tough with Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. That's right.
Played a little football at Cal Poly Tech, I believe, for a year before. Said, okay, I'm getting hurt.
Richard Roper brought to us by Architect. All right, let's talk about this. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
The Comedy Central has got this show called South Side, and people are saying it's the most realistic show ever about the South Side, and it's a comedy.
Well, I'm very excited to tell you guys about this. The first episode aired last night, but of course, in true Comedy Central fashion, you can catch up to the episodes, you know, not more than just once. I've seen all 10 episodes of season one, and my first thought is we need a season two and a 3-4. You know, it's like, first of all, filmed in and around the Englewood neighborhood and then at the CineSpace studio. So all filmed here in Chicago, created by three former writers for Jimmy Fallon, who are, I know two of them are from the South Shore. I know one of them at least went to Whitney Young. So you got Chicago flavors everywhere. And then all kinds of Chicago actors in it and all kinds of Chicago jobs behind the scenes. But the most important part is it's one of the funniest sitcoms you'll ever see, and it's more of a filmed sitcom. It doesn't have a laugh track or anything, but it's a comedy,
right? Single camera.
Yes, exactly. And it is unbelievably funny and unbelievably politically incorrect, which is perfect. And one of the great things is, yes, it acknowledges the violence and crime and problems in the neighborhood, but it's much more about the families and the situations. The two main guys, I mean, they're the classic two friends continually getting in trouble, going all the way back to the honeymooners. So they're always trying to figure out a scheme to make more money. And it's a workplace comedy in the grand tradition of The Office or Parks and Rec or 30 Rock. In this case, the main workplace is Rent to Own, which is the company that will let you have anything from appliances to furniture that you could rent to own. And all kinds of situations coming from there. It's an ongoing story, but also each episode is self-contained too. There's an entire episode that starts off with the cops showing up for the morning roll call and the meeting, and the boss comes out and says, "This is a day that could tear apart the fabric of our city. The new Air Jordans go on sale today." And the cops goes, "I have a family. Oh my God, I can't work today." I mean, so they go there. There's another episode featuring a Barack Obama-like aspiring politician. He's being groomed for power in Chicago and then maybe beyond that. And he's a wonderful guy, but maybe a little full of himself. So another guy, African-American, says to him, who's kind of thinking like, "Oh, you're so full of yourself." He goes, "Oh, you probably went to Howard, right? Someplace like that." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Actually, I went to Yale. You could have read about it in my book. I was black at Yale." Which is a great joke, and a lot of people can't get away with that, but Southside does it. And LaRoyce Hawkins is in this. He's one of the many characters. He's a Harvey native. I think he went to Thornton High School. He was on one of the Chicago PD. In this show, he plays a very intimidating guy who has a group of friends. You could call them a group, I think. They all hang out with each other as a group. He rented an Xbox a couple of years ago, and he's about 2 years behind on the payments. But, you know, who's going to actually go and get it from him?
How long has Michael Shaw had that Xbox?
He had an Xbox for 2 years.
Oh, wow. Simon, I want you and Kay to go and get it back from him without any protection.
Shaw's too dangerous. He made Greg quit. And Greg is a Marine.
How cool is that?
That's what I'm talking about.
I am not risking my life for this rat the job. I just graduated from college. My stock is all the way up.
What are you doing?
Excuse me. Oh, and here's your shirt.
Wow, really?
Come on, Kay.
Man, this is foolish on so many levels, but that's my boy. I'm out.
Really? You're out here, too?
See you at home?
Yeah.
Because his brother runs the store. And by the way, the two of them are bragging about they're both probably about 35, and they're very, very full of themselves because they just graduated from college. It would be Kennedy King Community College is what they just graduated from.
At 35?
And they're very, very excited about that. And they're like, "We can get any jobs we want now." They're back at Rent-A-Own about a week later in another episode. So 3.5 stars overall for Southside. But I really do hope that it gets picked up. I think it's going to do really well. Because even though, yeah, it's very Chicago-centric, it's also just very universal in the theme. It's just really funny.
Is it the
really
kind of funny show that eventually, like what some of these shows, end up on Netflix anyway?
Yeah, right? I would think so. Although, you know, the great thing about Comedy Central is, too, you know, you can do the swears and you can, you know, kind of push the envelope, too. It's a matter of people finding it because there's so much out there.
So if you go to the Comedy Central, if you go to their app, you should be able to stream it, right?
Exactly.
Right. So is the buzz true that it does really feel Chicago to
it
you?
It does. And then it just keeps throwing, you know, just lots of fun surprises and curveballs at you. But, it just really gets deep digs and fun, you know, comments about the various neighborhoods. At one point, one of the guys from the South Side ventures up to Wrigleyville for the first time ever in his life because, you know, he's only known the neighborhood, and he meets a young black woman and says, "Oh, you're going to love going to a Cubs game. It's like Atlanta, but with drunk white people." Which, you know,
that's pretty much true.
Yeah. A lot of good observations, shall we say, as much comedy is rooted in.
All right. So,
South Side
on Comedy Central, yes. All about Chicago, and you see the South Side in a way that you have not seen the South Side.
Yeah, and really nicely filmed, well photographed, you know, like you'll see
a lot of
familiar
things.
Well, the shy
was really beautifully done, too.
Yes, exactly. You know, you get, even some of the bleaker things, but then also, you know, some of the banquet halls and businesses, and then, of course, sometimes it does venture into other neighborhoods. But
you know what else was a Chicago-based TV show that was filmed beautifully. Was that Kelsey Grammer Boss? Was that what it
was
called?
Yeah, I remember that.
That is, you know, that is a real regret that they should have, Showtime should have, and it literally just ended on a cliffhanger, and then they canceled it after two seasons about, what, 4 years ago, yeah. Maybe? I think if it had been now, in this day and age, it would have had a better chance of getting picked up by some place like Netflix. Kelsey Grammer is a corrupt Chicago mayor. Yeah. And that was good.
Yeah. Chicago is just, it is a beautiful woman as a city. It is, and all of it is just beautiful to shoot, no matter where you are. You can find something really interesting. Even The Chi, which shoots, it purports to take place on the south side, but they shoot on the west side. Mm-hmm. And they find these great streets on the west side that are gorgeous, you know, or interesting.
Interesting.
You know, and depending. Of course, yeah. And yeah. It's really amazing to, you know, to see, because, you know, we sit around, I think, you know, as Chicagoans, we're constantly decrying the bad stuff that happens in the city, as we should. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Life goes on in this city.
Yeah. A lot of good.
People are not, shooting and getting killed. Right. And mm-hmm. and all the other things that are going on and are happening, you know, blocks away and their blocks are fairly pacified. Right. Or fairly safe.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it is. It's good to. But with the acknowledgement that there's a lot of weird stuff going on, a lot of bad stuff going on, too. I think I fully love the idea.
Right. It's refreshing.
These kinds of shows.
A comedy.
All right.
That premieres tonight.
First episode was last night, and it'll be on every week. But as we were saying, you can probably catch up at the first episode.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Southside. Mm-hmm. Look for it. Southside. All right, let's check in with, as Barack Obama would say, I miss those days. I don't see the president doing that now. All right, we're going to find out about this David Crosby, Cameron Crowe produced documentary coming up in just a second. There might be some good music in that, but first. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, tens of thousands of Illinois families could lose their food stamp benefits.
Roe Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here. Rich Roper is here. Yes. He says 3.5 stars for Southside. If you want to go see that on Comedy Central, it premiered last night, but you can find it. You know, it's going to be rerunning on Comedy Central, and that's 10.
We have episodes. This. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Matera and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News, 9 o'clock.
And there is this documentary now that Cameron Crowe, the great Cameron Crowe, one of the great filmmakers, one of the great music historians of the 20th and 21st century, has made, called David Crosby, Remember My Name.
Yes, with the cooperation of David Crosby. This is produced by Cameron Crowe. He didn't direct it, but he produced it. And he's also the off-screen interviewer, which is great. And, of course, he's one of the best at that, because he interviewed David Crosby when he was 19 years old and he was at Rolling Stone. David Crosby is now 77 and, as a lot of people know, is famously somehow still alive. As he points out in the movie, he has 8 stents in his heart. He's had 2 heart attacks. He's a diabetic. He's got somebody else's liver. And he was a drug addict for 40 years, and yet he's still somehow alive.
He rents out his sperm.
Right? Didn't he? Melissa Etheridge, I think, at some point. Come to my window and leave a sample was her big hit song. and again, we talk about, you know, these documentaries. Of course, they have this bounty of archival footage and home movies and background stuff. And David Crosby, for people who don't know, not only Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, but also The Birds, co-founded The Birds. So it's a little bit overlapping with Echo in the Canyon, the movie we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But this is all about David Crosby, who is absolutely transparent about this. This is not an adoring biography. In fact, as he freely talks about, he was one of the worst people in the history of pop music in terms of being a human being. One of the great influences in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. Nobody's talking to him. Nobody from the Birds is talking to him. neither Nash nor Young nor Stills has talked to him. And Graham Nash is one of the most gentle souls in the history of time. He wrote Our House.
But they went back out on tour together, though, a couple years ago.
He stuck with them. He was the only one that stuck with him. Time and again, he would stick with him, and they'd go out on tour. And a couple years ago in Sweden, Graham Nash pushed him on the stage and said, "You're the worst," and whatever happened, and won't talk to him anymore. And David Crosby talks a lot about that. You know, that, like, he's not well-liked. Bridges, but he's still making this amazing music, and he talks about that as well.
And where can people see this?
This is in theaters. This is a wide release, actually, because it's definitely a contender for Academy Award.
How many stars?
3.5 stars.
Ooh,
Remember My Name. Really good stuff.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Roper. We'll see you tomorrow at the Blackhawks convention.
See you out there.
We got White Sox baseball coming your way.